Good evening. I appreciate very much the opportunity to be with you again. I want you to know that this subject is not an academic one only. My mother was 8 years old in her home in Syria under the control of Turkey then. Muslim troops came through the village with orders to kill all the men. My mother's father was killed when my mother was 8 years old. I bear no hatred for Islam, but I want you to know that this is more than academic. I have a copy in my possession now for more than half a century of the Quran. That is attested by the fact that it was published in 1961, and the price published on the cover is 95 cents. I think you can understand how long ago that was. Will you turn with me to the Epistle to the Galatians? Galatians chapter 1. In verse 6, Paul writes, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." And turn also to familiar opening verses of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Though an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, in these days God hath spoken unto us by his Son, who in former times spake unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that's significant in the history of Islam. Perhaps one-fifth of the world's population follow Islam. Of three great religions in the world, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. Islam means submission. Next April 24th, 2015 will mark the 100th anniversary of the first Holocaust in modern times. 1.5 million Armenians were put to death by Turkish Muslims. Near the beginning of World War I, Turkey to this day does not acknowledge that that ever happened. They said we were simply relocating the Armenians. They relocated them from their villages to graves. They were led out into the wilderness, which was desert. Many years later, Adolf Hitler was preparing the Holocaust, the one that everybody remembers now, attacking the Jews. His lieutenants warned Hitler quite boldly, "This will make your name go down in infamy." And Hitler is supposed to have replied, "Who remembers the Armenians?" A few of you might have been told, the older among you, when you were children and did not like something your mother put on your plate, "Think of the starving Armenians." And you didn't know who they were, and at the moment would be quite glad to have given them what was on your plate. Mount Ararat is where Noah's Ark landed. That's in Armenia. So I'm happy to welcome you all as honorary Armenians, since you came from there also. God gave revelation. He did not create religion. God revealed himself. Man, refusing to retain God in his knowledge, according to Romans 1, given over to reprobate minds, ungrateful and resistant. All kinds of unrighteousness followed. Just as in Christianity there is much diversity, Christian is not a universal term that is defined equally by everyone. So in Islam, there is diversity. There is false and there is true. Man makes religion. Every religion, in order to have a following, requires some element of truth. And truth plus error is the most fatal form of error. It is not truth. To discover what Islam is in relation to the revealed scriptures, we must go back to the roots. The context of Islam was the 7th century Arabian Peninsula, much desert, shepherds and merchants. There were three components to this new religion. Christian councils were held in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th centuries, dealing with refined definitions of biblical truths in response to heretical emergence of emphases on certain aspects of truth. Christ is God. Christ is man. How to reconcile those two truths? One group emphasized his deity to the expense of his humanity. Another, his humanity to the expense of his deity. And councils were held following the pattern in the Council of Jerusalem in the scripture. And error was defined. Error was recognized as truth was defined. These councils gave us no new truths, but they confirmed what had been biblically revealed. And in doing so, they rejected heretical emphases. But those heresies did not therefore die. They found new audience in parts of the Middle East. That became one component of the religious character of the time. Another was the spread of Judaism. Judaism, being much older than Christianity, was well spread throughout the ancient Near East. And a third component was Arab polytheism. There were over 300 gods, 300 deities in the polity of the Arabians. These components became the raw material for what was eventually Islam. In the city of Mecca, in the southern part of this Arabian peninsula, was the Kaaba, a cubical temple revered by the Arabs, which contained images to over 300 gods. But the most important part of this square, small, fabric-covered exterior temple at Mecca, set in one wall, was a meteorite, a sacred stone, encircled in silver. This was the place where Arabs came for worship, and all their gods were recognized there. It was believed that this stone was given by God to Abraham and Ishmael and came down from heaven. And being a meteorite, it surely did. In the 6th century was born Muhammad, an orphan in the service of a wealthy widow who had inherited a business which involved trafficking, commerce, trading, and he, Muhammad, became a traveling merchant, had opportunity to contact these various components that I've described. She was very pleased with his services, and he came well recommended by his companions. And she, being 15 years older than he, married him. And now at the age of 25, Muhammad is free from responsibility of labor, has opportunity for meditation. It became his custom to spend a month each year. That month became Ramadan, in a cave where he meditated. Now, we cannot define the source of the Quran, but we can propose a number of components. It is historical that Muhammad was given to what we would today call epilepsy. He had wide experience with these three religious sources. He claimed that he received revelations from the angel Gabriel. Paul said to the Galatians, "Though an angel from heaven bring unto you any other gospel." And the writer to the Hebrews had said, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." Gabriel, the prophet, whom later Muhammad equates with the Holy Spirit — there is no Holy Spirit, Gabriel is the spirit who brought forth these revelations. I do not propose the origin, but if it were not epilepsy, if it was not simply the awareness of a wide variety of religious components, I propose a demonic inspiration. a conflict began to emerge. As he began to propagate and preach, he was himself illiterate. He wrote nothing. He was told to write, and he could not write. Propose. So he preached. And preaching, he spread these teachings, using gentle persuasion in and around Mecca. You can find in the Quran moderate statements appealing to grace and comfortable statements, not vicious, not militant. During his Mecca period, he used gentle persuasion. But then there began to be competition and opposition to his teaching because it was affecting negatively the trade and the visits around the Kaaba, the Holy Temple. So he moves north up to the city of Medina. And in 622, there begins what is known as the flight, the Hijra, the Hijra, the flight from Mecca to Medina. This is the year one in the Muslim calendar, the year one. And now begins conquest. Now begins revelations that tell him to use the sword or to impose tribute money upon those who will not convert. By the death of Muhammad in 632, 10 years later, all of the Arabian Peninsula had been conquered by Islam. In Surah number 9, I must tell you, the Quran is a most strange book. It is composed of chapters, each of which is a revelation, called surahs, which are presented in the order of their length, without regard to their content. There is no continuity of subject matter. There is no single thread of meaning. Every surah, S-U-R-A-H, or revelation, is a unique revelation. They are presented in the book only in the order of their length. After the opening, which is number one, and it is called the opening, which reads, "Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, the beneficent, the merciful, owner of the day of judgment. Thee alone we worship, thee alone we ask for help. Show us the straight path, the path of those whom thou hast favored, not the path of those who turn thine anger, nor of those who go astray." This is the opening and revealed at Mecca. Then begins Surah number 2, which has 286 verses. And then continue these 113 more surahs, a total of 6,225 verses. The shortest last. The last few have 3 to 5 verses. There are three major divisions of the Muslim. The Sunni, who are 90% of them in the vast majority. The Shiite are 10%. They are the more orthodox. They are like the reformers of Sunni. They claim closer adherence to the hadith, the sayings of Muhammad. In addition to these revelations that he claimed, he had a lot to say, and those who adhered most closely to them are considered the Orthodox. A third group are the Wahhabi, named after an 18th century radical, which has established madrasas or training institutions, schools all over the world, and teach very widely that homicide is the route to paradise. There is no heaven for those who deny the Quran, Surah number 7 says. Beliefs, the beliefs of the Muslim, his beliefs. Number 1, there is no God but one. His name is Allah. That emphasis on no God but one denies the Trinity. This God, Allah, is not the God of heaven. This is the moon god of the Arab culture, one of many. There is no God but one. His name is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. A second belief is in prophets. God speaks to man through prophets. They claim 124,000 prophets. Many of those from the Old Testament, Adam, Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Jesus, the Gospels they include Jesus as a prophet. There are 25 in the Quran, I say, and the latest prophet is the greatest prophet. The latest is Muhammad, 7th century. All through the centuries prior to Muhammad, there were a succession of prophets, but there has been no prophet since the death of Muhammad. All that succession suddenly stopped. He is the seal of the prophets. A third belief is in angels. Angels, and Gabriel, as I said, is the Holy Spirit. They believe in divine decrees. Everything that happens has been foreordained. There is chance. There is no chance. There is only fatalism. This is not submission to the will of God. Whatever he brings is for our good and his glory. This is a thoughtless, careless fatalism. And there is retribution. Retribution. There is reward for good deeds, and there is punishment for sins. The duties of a Muslim. He is to repeat the creed 5 times a day. No God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. He prays 5 times daily. He prays at dawn, at noon, at afternoon, at sunset, and at evening. In this process, he stands, he bows, he kneels, he falls prostrate, all while repeating verses from the Quran. Another duty is almsgiving. This is a duty. This is not an expression of Christian charity. 2.5% of all his income is to be given as alms. This is a duty. And when the beggar on the street corner beseeches you for an offering, he is giving you a privilege of fulfilling your obligation. And when in Istanbul one day I was walking and accosted by one of these beggars and did not make a contribution, he cursed me. I couldn't understand his language, but the tone was evident. My failure to assist him was condemnation for me. And then the duty of jihad. a widely diverse term that means many things. It's defined as exertion. Exertion against sin and evil in myself. Exertion against the infidel. Protecting the faith, overcoming non-believers, purifying those who have fallen away from conformity. The character of Islam is do and thou shalt live. It is works righteousness. The gospel teaches me first that I must live. I must have spiritual life before I can do anything which in God's sight is good. This is works righteousness. It is monotheistic. It is opposed to all the gods. It destroyed the polytheism of the Arabs. It opposed alcohol and does and games of chance. Pantheistic, polytheistic idolatry. There is the promise of paradise while proselyting against the heathen. It was during the time of the Crusades when Western Crusaders, nominal Christians, who were not propagating the faith by conducting crusades, they were seeking to reconquer lands, the holy lands, that were holy now to three religions from Muslim conquest. They were seeking to open up the Holy Land to the access of pilgrims. There were many excesses in the Crusades, and these are decried by Christians. But this was not spreading the gospel. This was not, they were seeking to oppose militarily the expansion of Islam, which within a generation had crossed over North Africa into Spain and up even into France, where it was finally halted in its advance in the middle of the 8th century. It was works righteousness. It was the promise of paradise while spreading their gospel. The religious pattern of their character is to be imposed on society. It is not emerging from the people. It is supposed to dominate the whole life. This is unicity, they call it. This, again, is an imposition, but it ought to be, in the Christian context, a natural effort on the part of the believer to represent Christ in every area of his life. In his political, in his economic, in his social, and in his religious, obviously. this is rather imposed under political priesthood. In Surah number 101, if I stop to read them, I will not finish. We are told that a Muslim is to make no friends of Jews and Christians. There was a Pharisaical development of sayings called the Hadith, sayings of the Prophet, which were not in the Quran, but additional sayings. This is like the Pharisees adding to the revelation of God. And then there is the principle of abrogation. That means that a later revelation may contradict and nullify an earlier one. So you can turn to whatever surah you want and prove whatever you want, although the later, and there is no clarity as to which are earlier and which are later. Some of them are labeled as a surah received at Mecca, others at Medina. Now a comparison with the Christian gospel. Islam has a low view of women. They are the property of men. Islam uses violence as a tool of expansion. There is no original sin. Man was forgiven without any atonement or redeemer. There is no redeemer. There is no atonement. He is forgiven arbitrarily because of his good works. There is no redeemer, I say. There is no father-son relation to God. Men are only servants. I have not called you servants, our Lord said. I have called you friends. There is no such relation of the Muslim to his Allah. The Holy Spirit, as I have said, is Gabriel. So there is no Holy Spirit. Allah is called the All-Merciful repeatedly in the Quran, and yet he extends only judgment. The cruel mutilation of violators, cutting off the hands of thieves, and pulling out the tongues of blasphemers. One exquisite torture was to remove one hand and one foot on opposite sides. Violence toward unbelievers. It is in Surah number 2 that Jews are called sons of monkeys and pigs. And in number 17, it is specifically declared that God had no son. Jesus is not God. He did not die on the cross. There was a substitute of Judas on the cross in Jesus' place. He was taken up into heaven, Jesus was, and will eventually return and establish Islam over the entire earth, according to the Quran. Old Testament and New Testament accounts are perverted. The Trinity is rejected. The Trinity that they reject is, and they assume is the Christian Trinity, is Father, Son, and Mary. No civil liberties in Muslim lands. Polygamy. 4 wives are authorized. Muhammad himself left 9 widows, having married one wife when she was 9, having been betrothed to her when she was 6. The only certainty of paradise is to die fighting against the infidel. And there are no miracles in the Quran. This had been brought out interestingly. John describes the miracles that were done by our Lord and something of the reason for them when he records many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Moderate Islam is a kind of Western creation. When in the minority, they seem peaceful and gentle, law-abiding, but this is no more true Islam than are nominal Christians who do not practice their faith in Christ. It has been said there are 3 kinds of Muslims: secular, moderate, and militant. There are 3 states of development in their history: accommodation to the existing environment, agitation for change of that environment, and subjugation. Both are missionary, that is, Islam and Christianity are missionary in character. Islam says, fight the non-believers. The gospel says, go and preach the gospel. A former church history student of mine spent 17 years as a missionary in Muslim Bangladesh. And he has quoted a converted Muslim's 10 commandments for reaching Muslims. Use the word of God. They respect the sacred books, the law, the Psalms, the Gospels, and the Quran. The latest is the greatest. Be constantly in prayer. Be a genuine friend. Share your home, your time, your meals. Hospitality is important in the Muslim, in the Arab culture. Ask thought-provoking questions about an individual's assurance, the issue of forgiveness of sins, the fact of heaven and how to go there. Listen attentively. Listen closely. Present your understanding, your belief, openly, clearly. Reason. Don't argue. Never denigrate Islam or Muhammad. Exalt Jesus Christ. Respect their customs. They honor sacred books. Don't put your Bible on the floor. That would be an offense to a Muslim. Pray and persevere. The psalmist said, God gave the word. Great was the company of those who published it. Let us be among them for God's glory.